So last week I preached on Philippians 2:14, 15, where Paul says to do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may shine, or do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may be blameless, pure, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights. And what I want to do today is simply follow up that message with two questions that someone emailed me and asked. And I want to answer those two questions this morning. That's what it seemed like the thing to do was. Before I deal with those two questions, just a brief refresher for those who are not here. We looked at five things last week. Five things from Philippians 2:14, 15, and 16. First, we saw that grumbling is at its root the sin of unbelief. Or as the Lord said of Israel, they despised the Lord. They despised His divine providence in their life. And so we saw what grumbling is at its root, it's unbelief. It's not believing that this happened because of God's perfect providence and perfect will, and we despise that. We dispute with God that He could have done it a better way. Secondly, we saw the seriousness of grumbling. We saw in 1 Corinthians 10 that Israel of old was given as an example for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages has come. And we saw how serious grumbling was. Disputing with God was for Israel. What happened? Many were destroyed by the destroyer. They perished, it says. This was serious. So we see that grumbling is not some respectable sin. Serious sin. Thirdly, we saw the purpose in Paul's mind is why we should not grumble. And as you see right there, if you have your Bibles open to Philippians 2, he says it's that you may be. Paul wants the church at Philippi and the church at Grace Community to be something. Blameless, innocent, children of God, without blemish, unrebukable. He wants that. And he realizes if we're a bunch of grumblers, if we're a bunch of disputers, we're not going to be blameless as a body. We're going to be just like the crooked and twisted generation who is faithless. So Paul wants us to shine as lights in the midst of this twisted and crooked generation. Fourthly, we found that the power to not grumble comes, one, from holding fast to the Word of Life. And when we go to the Word of Life, what do we find in the Word of Life? Right in the very context, we found Paul showed us that we're children of God. So what reason, as children of God, do we ever have to grumble if God is our Father? Surely He's going to do as He said in Romans 8 and work all things together for our good. So how can I not grumble in all things? By believing that all things are working together for my good. We found in Philippians 4, how do I get to this point of not grumbling in all things? Paul says that he learned to be content, how to be brought low, how to abound. In any and every circumstance, he learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. And what was that? It was through Christ who strengthens him. So we found the power to not grumble. Ultimately, it comes from Christ who strengthens me. It comes from Philippians 2:12 and 13. God working in me to will and to work for His good pleasure. Fifthly, we found this last week. What should we do instead of grumble and dispute? And we see in Philippians 2, Paul says there, even if he's martyred, in verse 17 is what the gist of what he's saying is, his response is not that he grumbles, it's that he's glad and rejoices. So we found there's a better way to respond to God's divine providences in our life. It's not to grumble at God, it's to rejoice and be glad. And we need to be able to say, even if this happens, Lord, I will rejoice and be glad, even if, because God is in control of everything. So that I ran through that brief summary just so you kind of know where we went last week if you weren't here. So two follow-up questions someone emailed me that I want to answer this morning. One, Why do I tend to grumble and complain about little things, but not big things? Why do I tend to grumble and complain about little things, but not big things? I find in myself a tendency to complain and grumble about small things, like slow drivers on a two-lane road, imperfect professors at school, kids spilling food and drink, kids crying in a meeting, you could add that, traffic. Yet when given big trials, like having our things stolen, getting into a car accident, having expensive car maintenance, I tend to immediately see those things as from the hand of the Lord. I tend to immediately see the bigger things as from the hand of the Lord. Now, maybe that's not all of our experience, but I think for a lot of us, that's a valid question. When the real big things happen, it, you know, you tend to be so obvious this is God that you'd be ashamed to grumble at it because it's so clearly this is God's hand doing this. But the smaller things that happen more repetitiously on a daily basis, why is it we tend to maybe not see those as from the hand of the Lord? So that's the first question. Why do I tend to grumble and complain about little things but not big things? Now, maybe some of you all know the Bible better than me, but I couldn't find a verse that gave a clear answer as clear as I would have liked. But we're going to think about this. We're going to think about this. Now, first thing that I noticed in this person's question is this. He kind of points out the problem in the question. He says at the end, I tend to immediately see those things as from the hand of the Lord. Implying there's a problem here in the way of understanding that the person is not seeing the small things as from the Lord. He's implying, if I did see the small things from the Lord, I would respond differently. But because I don't see that from Him clearly, I respond with grumbling. But if I did see it was from Him, I wouldn't grumble. I mean, who would grumble against the hand of the Lord? Who would murmur and dispute with God that there's a better way? So, first, it shows there's a lack of understanding. There's a lack of understanding of God's purposes in one's life. Lord, help me. I need my thoughts gathered. So it implies I don't grumble over that which I see is from the Lord's hand, because I realize the sinfulness of doing such. So the reason you grumble over the small things is you don't see them as from the hand of the Lord. And if you saw them from the hand of the Lord, you'd realize to grumble at them is what? What did we look at last time? If you grumble at something from the hand of the Lord, what is that? It's sinning. It is looking at what God has allowed to happen, His divine providence, and it is murmuring and being upset at what God has allowed to happen. It's disputing with God that you failed me, you've wronged me, there was a better way. Now, think about this thing of seeing the things is from the hand of the Lord and how that makes a difference in our response. I thought about this. Say if I get a present on it, and I open the present. There's no label. I don't know who the present is from. Okay, and I open the present, and in the present I find a ripped piece of paper and it has some scribbly marks on it. I may grumble when I open that present. I may think, who would have given me something like that? I don't know who it's from. I think, who would have done something like that? But if you put a label on it, this is from the hand of your 2-year-old daughter, Selah, then when I open the present and I see it's from my daughter, there's no way I'm going to grumble. Being convinced in my mind this is from my daughter, it changes my response. In the same way as Christians, if I rightly see things, this is from the Lord, it will change how I respond. If I see that it's labeled God's divine providence, even in the small, I won't grumble at that. I'll receive that with joy and thank the Lord, just like I'd thank my 2-year-old daughter. I wouldn't want to make her feel bad and feel like she's done something wrong. So the same when the small things are being labeled from God the Father. So the first issue is not seeing clearly enough that the small things are labeled just as the big are. They're both from the Lord. So one tends to grumble and complain about little things, not the big things, because one is not seeing the little things as from the hand of the Lord. So then what is going on when you don't see something as from the hand of the Lord? What does it mean if I don't see something as from the hand of the Lord? Because the person says, I mean, the big things I see from the hand of the Lord. So if he saw the little things from the hand of the Lord, he's implying that I would not grumble because I would recognize this is from God. So what does it mean to God when he is doing something in my life through providence and I don't see it is from him? What's going on there? I would summarize it like this. It's a lack of faith. It's unbelief. It's not understanding how intricate God is working everything in our lives and how involved he is, even in the little things. They are important to him, and he has a purpose behind it. And you know what happens the nearer you walk to Christ? You see that God has a design even in the smallest of trials. So one of the issues here is when we are not as near to Christ as we should be, we're not accurately seeing things as they are. Is it true, if you did see the little things for what importance they are, you would respond rightly? Yeah, I think part of that, if I understand correctly how God moves and works, and I understand this is from Him, that will help me respond right. You think about a sculptor with his chisel. Say he has a chisel, and he's, you know, say if I knock a big hunk out of the water bottle. I take a big piece out of it. Every Christian, when God comes and prunes a whole limb, we see that's from the hand of the Lord. It's very hard to argue God did that. But what happens when the Lord comes and say there's just this little tiny branch and he cuts that? Sometimes we don't see that as clearly being from the hand of the Lord. Yet it is. Someone said this, more of the little things, they seem less important and so seem more bothersome. They seem less important and seems more bothersome. Maybe dealing with the little things has more benefit to our souls, so Satan wants us to think they are not important. Did you hear what that person said? Maybe dealing with the little things have more benefit to our souls, so Satan wants us to think they are not important. Satan would love for us, just like we looked at last week, to not view grumbling as as serious of a sin as it is. The devil would love that. Because what's Paul's whole point in Philippians 2? If that happens, the church is not blameless and they're not going to shine as a light. So just this thing of grumbling and bickering and murmuring can affect the entire evangelistic witness of a church. That's a pretty big deal. You think about the little things. Song of Solomon 2:15 says this, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes." What do those little foxes do? They spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. So Solomon even saw the little foxes, the little grumblings. It's not just that they're from the hand of the Lord, what he allowed. It's that when you grumble, those little foxes you're allowing to run around in your heart, those little murmurings, they spoil the vineyard. They deal with damaging a whole lot more. They're not small. So little foxes of grumbling over spilled milk, that matters. Like we looked at last week, if my children wipe the milk out over the table and I respond with an impatient, sinful, just non-righteous anger at my child, I am affecting my witness to them as a Christian. That matters. And I'm not going to leave that table and go away and be able to study the Bible and feel like everything's okay. I've spoiled something in my heart, and the Lord's going to be convicting me to lead me to go and to apologize, to make it right. Isn't that how it is with the little things? When we grumble in the little things, it affects our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't let us off the hook. Part of this, part of a person not seeing the little things as big things is not seeing how it grieves the Holy Spirit. I mean, the smallest things grieve the Spirit. And Paul says in Ephesians 4 to put away falsehood, to put away an incorrect understanding. So when I understand even these little things is sin against the Lord, that changes how I view them. I realize, boy, that small thing, it grieves the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just need Your help, Father. I want to be preaching Your Word, Father. I hope, Lord, none of this is just some thoughts, but is consistent with Scripture, Lord, that there would be help in this time. And so, Lord, if I'm missing it in any way, pray You'd make that clear. Lord, I need You. In Jesus' name, help. In Christ's name, amen. So one of the things we need is to know and see the hand of the Lord is involved in everything. And that's immature if we don't see that. It dishonors God if we don't see how intricately involved He is in everything. Job 12:7 says this, "Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, has created?" Well, do you know who among these He's referring to? Beast, birds, bushes, and fish. So Job is saying, I mean, even the bush, they know that the hand of the Lord has done this. So if I look at the small things and I'm not seeing correctly that the hand of the Lord has done that, I'm not honoring God as the all-sovereign that He is. It's unbelief. It's a distrust that even in the little things, God is intricately working these for my good to make me like Jesus Christ. Even in the little things, if I'm grieving the Spirit, this is a serious matter. So Job said, even the fish know that the hand of the Lord has done this thing. We find in Isaiah 45:7, the Lord says, "I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things." Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows." I mean, if I realize even the hairs of my head are numbered, if I really understand that, if I really give proper place to God's sovereign hand, that means I'm walking nearer to the Lord to really believe that. Then I will see properly that the little things are not little things, but are big things. That the little things grieve the Spirit and affect my relationship with my fellowship with Christ. So it matters. Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He wills." You know, Dan Sim in Lebanon, they were faced with a big thing, right? They were faced with a Red Sea. They weren't faced with a little thing, they were faced with the Red Sea. If I understand that even the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, it's going to be very difficult for me to grumble, because I'll realize God owns that man seated there who's the judge. And God can change that man's heart to sign the paperwork if He wants to in a moment. So proper understanding, maturity, nearness to the Lord, we're not going to grumble at these small things. You think about it in reverse. What happens with all the blessings God gives? We get food every day, and what happens? We tend to take for granted the little blessings God gives, like food on the table. So it's not just that we struggle as Christians at times with the little trials and we have a hard time seeing them from God and we could grumble. But all the little blessings from God, we don't see those rightly as we should. But the same answer is to both. The nearer I walk to Christ, the more I understand the Word of God and that everything has come from Him. He creates calamity. He creates darkness. It's going to condition me to respond righteously because I'll realize all these things are from God. Even my hair, God counts my hair. The Lord is sovereign. You know, I was thinking of, here an illustration is, you're driving in your car and someone runs a red light and they hit you and you get in a wreck, your car is totaled, but no one's hurt. What would most of us do? After that wreck, we would get out of the car and we would tend to say, that was the hand of the Lord that protected us. Right? I mean, that's usually how we would respond. Okay, what if you got in the wreck and you were paralyzed? Would you say that the hand of the Lord has done that? I mean, even there, I think most we would. I mean, it's so dramatic. It's so clear cut. It's very difficult to right there to, you know, you're going to wrestle with it. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to have to say, I mean, God did this. But say this happens. You're driving down the street and you have a flat tire. Now that flat tire actually made you avoid getting T-boned by the guy running the stoplight down the street and kept you from getting paralyzed. But you don't know all of that and you're never going to know all that information. All you know is I had a flat tire driving down the street. Now that's something that could be easy to grumble about. Could be easy to not see the Lord's hand in that. But the truth is if I murmur and grumble right there, guess what I'm doing? I'm looking at God and saying, your providence in allowing this to happen, I disagree with that. It's sin. But if I understand the Lord has deeper purposes in all of this, it may be just for me being content and nothing's going to happen. It may be that a guy is going to drive by to help me and I get to witness to him and he comes to Christ. But it may not be anything special like that. It just may be for your own good as a Christian to make you more like Jesus Christ. But we've got to see that. We've got to understand. The Lord did this. If He creates hurricanes, it's pretty easy to create a flat tire. But the things that are not as dramatic, not as obvious, we tend to not see clearly this is from the Lord. And that's to our shame. Because it's subtly saying to the Lord, you're not intricately involved in all things in my life. But that's not true. We already read the Lord is. Even the bushes know that the hand of the Lord has created, has done these things. So one of the issues on why we tend to grumble over the little things is we don't see God's underlining purpose behind it at that moment. But what we have to do is in faith trust Him. And even if we never see the purpose, it's ultimately for our good to make us more like Jesus Christ. So you think about little things in the Bible. Or one that came to mind was Jonah. I mean, God appointed a worm that attacked a plant. God appointed a worm to attack a plant. What was it for? To make a point to Jonah that he pitied the dying plant. So why shouldn't I, God, pity 120,000 people in Nineveh and the cattle? So the Lord had a purpose. He had a deeper purpose than just having the worm kill the plant. He wanted to expose something in Jonah's heart. You see, these little things, these little foxes, the Lord uses to expose something in our heart. I mean, I remember when I redid my backyard and we planted a bunch of trees and I had an avocado tree and I heard they were hard to grow in Texas and I thought, I'm going to get this guy to live. Well, the Lord appointed a pit bull to jump my fence and chew the thing up. And if I walk back there and grumble over that, Again, it could sound funny, but God had a purpose. Whether it was to reveal idolatry in my heart, that I was worrying too much about my backyard or not, maybe it was. That's what it got me asking. That little thing got me asking, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to show me when this happens? Then one day, I found this funny, the pit bull, me and Bethany were talking about the tree. And, you know, Lord, what are you trying to show us? And we heard a yelping outside, and the dog hopped over the fence again. But like Absalom, he got his head caught in the fence, and he was hanging there, just wiggling in the fence. But it showed, the Lord was showing me there in that providence, I have your back, James. You're not as bad of an idolater as you were maybe thinking you were, but I am trying to teach you a lesson with your house and your yard. Treasure Christ. You think, you know, if you guys have seen the Torchlighter movie, I believe they did an accurate depiction of what Corrie Ten Boom wrote, but the fleas. I mean, Corrie Ten Boom in the concentration camp, they got put in the only barracks that had fleas. And, you know, the movie shows Corrie grumbling, and her sister was not. Her sister saw in the little things, she understood that the hand of the Lord had done that. She was like the bushes and the fish. She understood the hand of the Lord had done that. Well, near the end, you find out that it and clearly was the hand of the Lord that the fleas were in the barracks. It was because the fleas were in the barracks that the guards were too scared to come in and check on them at night, and that allowed them to do a Bible study every night in the barracks. So the hand of the Lord had a deeper purpose. But whether I get to see that or not, I cannot justify grumbling. And I have to realize, Lord, I need to walk closer with You to be able to discern Your way of working. I need to put away falsehood and not grieve the Spirit by grumbling. I mean, there's all these little things that happen that God uses. My wife, she said she had bad allergies. Her eyes were really swollen, and she got grumpy, self-conscious. And one day she opened the shampoo bottle, and it shot right in her eye. Never had happened before. I got all the more irritated, and it was swelling up even more. But you know what? The Lord gave my wife grace, and she said this, I know it was from the Lord because He used it to break me of that sinful attitude and surrender it to Him. And that's really how we can respond at the little things. We could sin and keep on sinning, or we could bow to the Lord and realize, You sent the worm, You sent the pit bull, You in providence somehow, this never happened before, allowed the shampoo to shoot out into my eye. Lord, You've done all these things. You're trying to show me something. Don't let me be thick-headed and not see it. Like David said, let the righteous rebuke me. It is a kindness. It is oil for my head. Why is it when God comes to do things with us, sometimes we don't want to receive it? Because we don't see it as oil for our head. But if you realize it's rich oil for your head, you realize, I don't want to argue with the Lord. So if your child spills the milk, maybe God wants you to be a more patient person. And He's seeking to work that Christ-like attitude in your heart. So how to fix that? How to fix, as the question said, why do I tend to grumble and complain about little things but not the big things? And they mention, I tend to immediately see the big things as from the hand of the Lord. So first, we need to simply recognize the little things are from the hand of the Lord as well. And when they happen, acknowledge that. God is doing something. This is from the Lord. And to do that, you know what you need? You need to walk closer with Christ. What happens with us husbands in here? The longer I'm married to my wife, the more I know her, the more I learn the little tiny things that could offend her. Initially, when I got married, there was a lot of small things I didn't recognize that was not living with my wife in an understanding way. You know, any husband knows violence is wrong and yelling at his wife and all of these things. I mean, those are givens. But the closer you get in your marriage, the closer you get in your walk with Christ, the more you start to see these little offenses, and you find out they're not little offenses. They're big deals. They make the spirit grieved. They make your wife cry. So one way to fix it is we need to walk closer to Christ and walk by the Spirit. You know, you think again about the thoughts you put up with. We talk about our thought life. Men in here know, I'm not gonna put up with a lustful thought. If I get tempted with a lustful thought, it's not going to get the moment of day. Okay? But think about other thoughts. Grumbling thoughts. Just disputing about something. Too critical thoughts. Those we don't feel as defiled when they come into our mind, and so we allow them to hang around a little longer. But the closer you walk to Christ, you realize that too critical thought of that brother or sister is just as sinful as that lustful thought. And both of them affect my relationship with Christ, and I don't want to give place for either in my mind. So, why do I tend to grumble and complain about little things and not big things? Well, sometimes in the midst of the repetition of these little things. Big things happen every couple weeks, every couple months. Really big things happen every couple years. But the little things happen every single day. And we can be desensitized to not see God has a purpose in that. He may not be cutting off my whole arm. He may just be doing a little bit on my finger and making that more Christ-like. But whether he chisels a little bit as the sculptor or whether he does a whole lot, both are from him. Both are a place where I have absolutely no reason to grumble, but to trust him. So in that first question, all of that to say, the issue first, you need to see that the Lord is involved in all of those things. You need to understand that. It's an insult to God to not see His label on the little things and to grumble at them. But view every little thing, it says, from God the Father. From God the Father. From God the Father. He is allowing these things to happen. And in order for me to see that more, what I need is more closeness with Christ, because little sins are big sins because they all affect my relationship with Jesus Christ. So secondly, and a lot shorter, the person asks this, Paul says to do all things without disputing, yet the psalmist utters a complaint to the Lord at least four times. What's the difference? So Paul says to do all things without grumbling, and then he uses the word disputing. And in a way, what that is I'm reasoning with God on this is the better way. But I would say this, sinful disputing, you're not resigned to the Lord's will. Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. They were not saying, like Jesus said, your will be done. They wanted their will, they wanted their way. But as far as the question, the Psalms, I looked up all the Psalms in the ESV that had the word complaint. And this is one thing you find in all of those Psalms. All those Psalms don't have the psalmist complaining to God and grumbling to God about something he has done. Rather, the psalmist is complaining about his enemies. And in all of those Psalms, he's asking the Lord for help. So it's not, his complaining is not turning them away from the Lord like the Israelites, is turning them to the Lord for help. To illustrate it, here the difference is between the disputing that the psalmist did and what Paul is saying not to do in Philippians 2. Think about a restaurant. You go into a restaurant and there may be a complaint card, okay, where you have an issue with the way they did things or the food and you grumble at them. For example, you write out a complaint. Your complaint is against who? The restaurant. as opposed to an emergency room or a hospital where they have you fill out a paper. The paper is not you complaining against the hospital, but it's you informing the hospital about your current circumstance in order that they might help you. And so that's really where I think the difference is. The psalmist is going to the Lord as a patient looking to the Lord for help. Sinful disputing is going to the Lord and really grumbling. I don't like the way you did things. That food was not cooked well enough. You messed up in all of this. Egypt was better. So that's really a big difference there. Another thing to consider is all those psalms, the word in the original language is different than grumbling. A lot of the versions of the Bible, they read it as my meditation or my concern. And so the psalmist is saying, you know, this is my concern. It's not this idea of murmuring and grumbling, but it's an idea of I have concern. This is my meditation that I'm putting before you. Look at Psalms 55. Verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me, answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I moan. Okay, is he sinfully grumbling and disputing? Well, no, go on. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. Now remember, Israel bore a grudge against God. He's talking about his enemies bearing a grudge against him. Verse 4, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and the sin and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplaces. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and He hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, He who is enthroned from of old. Because they do not change, they do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Now look at verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. All over the Psalms, we find them simply casting their burden. And that word burden, complaint, is rendered in a lot of places concern. He's just simply letting God know his concern, his complaint, his burden. And that is a righteous thing to do. And as you can see, it's not like the psalmist is sitting there all doubting God, but there's a trust, and he's trying to lay hold of the Lord in faith and believe God. Psalm 64 says, hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread of the enemy. Again, he's asking for God's help. Psalms 142:2, with my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. Notice even there, he says, I tell my trouble before Him. What was Israel doing? They were telling God how they were troubled with the way He was doing things. As we saw last week, Israel was troubled that they didn't have meat. Israel was troubled with what they were going through. So the psalmist, yeah, he brings his meditation, his concern, his complaint to the Lord and cast his burdens on the Lord, and we need to be doing the exact same thing. Could at times there be a hint of unbelief in our heart in the midst of that? Sure. But that's something very commendable. It kind of goes along the lines of order and argument in prayer. Think of sinful disputing. Sinful disputing is not reasoning with God with His mind. Okay? Sinful disputing is being contrary to the mind of God. God says we're going this way, I want to go back to Egypt. God says this, I want that. Order and argument in prayer is taking God's very mindset and putting it to Him in arguments and reasoning with Him on why, Lord, you should do this. Like Moses did. Look what the nations will say if you let them perish. They will say that you're not a God of loving kindness and steadfastness. So we order and argument it in prayer. That is righteous, and maybe the best word isn't complaining, but it's righteous reasoning and meditating, putting your meditation before the Lord in prayer. You think of 2 Chronicles, I preached on that months ago. What did Jehoshaphat say? We're powerless. Now, I could stand up here right now and just say, boy, I'm powerless. And I could just moan and murmur and grumble, I'm powerless. I'm just so powerless. What did Jehoshaphat do? He didn't stop there. He said, we're powerless, but our eyes are on you. So if all you do is go to God and complain, and you just murmur and you grumble, and you're not looking for His help, you're not believing Him in faith that He's able to help, you're not saying my eyes are on you, then yeah, you can simply just be sinfully grumbling before the Lord. But if you go and you reason with God, then it's a good thing. It's a righteous thing. And you know, we've got the week of prayer and fasting coming up. That's something we all should be doing during that week. We should be putting our concern before the Lord. We should be putting our meditation, our complaint about the enemies. Just like I did when I prayed, I didn't do it intentionally, but before I prayed, Lord, we hear of people getting killed by ISIS every day. That's a complaint. So Lord, why will you not save someone every day through the gospel? I'm just saying, Lord, look, this is happening. Will you not do this? Will you not act for your name's sake? Well, just in closing here, a couple quotes on grumbling that were good. MacArthur says this, every circumstance of life is to be accepted willingly and joyfully without murmuring, complaint, or disappointment, much less resentment. There is no exception. There should never be either emotional grumbling or intellectual disputing. It is always sinful for believers to complain about anything the Lord calls them to do or about any circumstance which He sovereignly allows. Whether the task is difficult or easy, whether the situation involves a blessing or a trial, negative attitudes are forbidden. As he testifies later in this letter, Paul's own spiritual growth had led him to enjoy this attitude. He was content. J.R. Miller said this in 1907, Exodus 16:8, the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against Him. He says this, the fact that God hears all that we say ought to make us guard our words. But does God really hear every fretful word we say? Does He hear when we grumble about the weather, about the hard winter, about the late spring, about the dry summer, about the wet harvest, and about the grub worm? Does He hear when we grumble about the drought, about the high winds, about the storms? Does He hear when we complain about the hardness of our lot? If we could get it into our hearts and keep there continually, the consciousness that every word we speak is heard in heaven and falls upon God's ears, before it falls upon any other ear, would we grumble as we do now? We are always on our guard when we think that anyone is within hearing. Are we as careful concerning what we say in the hearing of our Heavenly Father? We are careful, too, never to speak words which would give pain to the hearts of those we love dearly. Are we as careful to not say anything that will give pain to the heart of Christ? Again, if I rightly see the hand of the Lord has done it, even in the small things, then I'll have to realize, like he says, I want to be careful to not say anything that will give pain to the heart of Christ who saved me on Calvary. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to shine as lights in the midst of the twisted and crooked, faithless, distorted, swerving from the truth generation. And Lord, here we have these truths that your hand has done it, the small, the big. And so, Lord, we do put our concern to you and ask for help. Lord, help us in this coming year. Help us to the end of our Christian life, Lord, that we would rightly see your intricate working in our lives. And Lord, we need more closeness to see that. So Lord, draw near to us. Lord, I want that. Lord, if one thing I want is to know you more. Lord, is to not have little foxes spoil, Lord, my relationship with you in any way. And so Lord, I pray you'd give that to all of us. You'd make us more like Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Please help us, Lord. Here all these enemies are in the world, and here we are your children. Paul said, you're God the Father. So God, you're our Father. Would you keep looking out for us as you have so masterfully done? In Jesus' name, amen.